Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the second major of the 2025 PGA Tour season, the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow. We'll get you ready to rock and roll there and much more. Before we get to do that, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Guys. Jesse, how we doing, man?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I wish I was doing as well as you. Like, you had a great weekend, is all I'm going to say. I know there's you're feeling it, but yeah, great weekend.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to play some good golf courses in Texas. And yeah, sorry we missed last week, but it was just schedules, man. I mean, it just happens. So, but we're back and got a major, so that's always fun to talk about.
Yes, always fun to talk about. For those that do care, the Truist is in the book. Sepp Straka with the win. Dude just keeps piling them up now. It's like, yeah, it's not a fluky thing anymore with Big Sepp.
Yeah, that's a hell of a win for him.
Big pay.
I mean, what are they paying, $10 million on that or something?
It's at least 4 or 5, if not more, bro. Like, it's a hefty payday for sure.
So, yeah. And poor Lowry, man. I don't know. You said you didn't get to catch the end of it?
I just watched the highlights. I didn't really catch much, no.
He had a chance there. He hit it off the side of the earth left, but it just happened to hit a grandstand, and he got a really good drop. And then just blasted his putt like 8 feet by, missed it coming back to make a bogey. Oof. But Sepp two putted. So yeah, I mean, yeah, Sepp. That was I heard somebody say this, and I totally agree with it. Like, we need more Northeast golf, like those kind of golf courses. Like, I know they tore it up, especially on round one. There were some really low scores, but it's fun to just see different places, like, and kind of more prestigious, like, you know, clubs like that, I think, are really cool. That's, you know, tough for memberships to give up a couple weeks a year in the Northeast because you just have such a short window. But I like seeing those type of places, man. I mean, like, that's a really cool, just different golf course that other than the TPC that we see every week. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure. I would love to see these kind of courses. And like, it was good hearing some of the interviews because everyone first looks at the scorecard and is like, oh, it's a short course. These guys are going to destroy it. And there was a point early on before the rains came where it looked like they might be ready to destroy the golf course. But again, to your point with the early season, courses aren't, like, I guess, at their toughest just yet in the Northeast. Right. But even like Rory and those guys said flat out, like, hey, if you did this or this, this course would be like really good. Like,
yeah,
like this, and like JT talked about it. Pretty much every golfer you listen to after the four rounds was like, "Yeah, we need more of this. We need more of this in our lives." So they agree with you, Jesse.
I mean, I agree with them. I think is the take there. But either way, I mean, it's just fun to see different places other than the cookie cutter TPC that we see, you know, 50% or more of every, you know, week at on the PGA Tour. Just cool to get something different. Quail is a great place too. So this is a really good golf course and a really fun week too.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll mention is Myrtle, the I don't even know what it's called. Yeah. The Myrtle Beach Classic.
Myrtle Beach Classic, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's in the books. 3-way playoff, Ryan Fox, Harry Higgs, and Mackenzie Hughes. Ryan Fox wins it on the first hole with a chip in. So that's a big win for him, obviously. I was pulling for Higgs. Like, the man, if he could have got that big win. Because he's done a lot. He went to on the Corn Ferry last year, picked up a couple wins. He's taken his nutrition seriously. He's lost a bunch of weight. There was an interview of him. He's working out a ton now to work on driving distance. Like, the boys realized, you know, it's the old Animal House joke, you know, fat, dumb, and stupid is no way to go through life, son. And Harry Higgs, you know, I'm not saying he's fat, dumb, and stupid, but you know what I'm trying to say. He figured out that might want to take this thing a little seriously because, as Kisner once said, this is a business, not a hobby.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was good to see. Hopefully that's a sign of things to come, I guess.
For sure, man. I mean, it's, you know, just as well as I do, is like the margins are so razor thin. Like, you got to try to take every edge that you can at that level when you're, you know, if you're good enough to play at that level, you got to like really be super competitive and like do what you need to do to take care of your body. So, yeah. I didn't know that, but
such a short window. He's only got a few years to like,
right. Right. That's, that's the other thing. I mean, like, yeah. It's not like you can compete at that high of a level for all of your life. So, but yeah.
Yep. Good to see there. But let's move to the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow. Technically, the course history, we have Wells Fargo, but this is the PGA. They will do it a little different. But what do you got for some past event history?
Yeah. Well, there's definitely, it's been played here a few times, or at least once. The PGA Championship was 2017, which was Justin Thomas. He won 8 under, 2 shots over Francisco Molinari, Louis Oosthuizen, and Patrick Reed. But last year, Xander won at Valhalla, 21 under. Brooks won in 2023 at Oak Hill, 9 under. Justin Thomas won for the second time in a playoff over Zalatoris at Southern Hills in 2022. But yeah, so a little bit of just Wells Fargo history, I guess, because it, you know, obviously that matters. The last time it was played here was last year. Rory won 17 under, 5 shots over Xander. 2023 was Wyndham Clark, 19 under, 4 shots over Xander. 2021 was, so 2022, they didn't play it there. No, they did. Yeah, they didn't play it there. 2021 was Rory for the third time. So Rory's won the Wells Fargo 4 times. 10 under, 1 shot over Abe Anser. Max Homa won in 2019, Jason Day in 2018, James Hahn randomly. But yeah, it's Rory's course. You know, obviously there's a big discrepancy the one sample size we have at 8 under for the actual PGA Championship at Quail Hollow, where Justin Thomas won, versus, you know, kind of some of the 16, 17s that these guys are getting into at the Wells Fargo. So I'm sure it'll be closer to the 8 under range, I would think, anyways. But they're getting a lot of rain. Like, it's been pouring here. I don't know if you saw Hideki out putting on water for some reason, but I don't know if you saw that picture or not. Did you see that picture?
I did not see the picture. I've heard all about the weather, but that's, I'm gonna have to check that one out, because that makes no sense to even people that don't play golf. So
right. Well, like, it the green is so insanely wet. I think Tron Carter posted it. It's just like, it looks like he's putting on water.
That's nuts. Why? I don't know. I guess I'll stop there, but that's weird. No clue what the process is there, but he's won a Masters and I'm sitting here talking on a microphone. So
right.
He probably knows what he's doing a little more than me, but I completely agree with your stance on this one. Yeah. So it's Quail Hollow. Like you mentioned, a course that we know very, very well. Seen it a ton of times. Like, you know, our buddy Kevin he used to be a club pro there. He's played it many, many times. He's always filled us in on the past about this, but it's going to be a par 71, a little over 7,600 yards, tons of bunkers. As we know, it's a long, long golf course. It's going to be wet, as you mentioned. Like Monday, the course was shut down from spectators because of the weather. They're calling off and on rain Tuesday, Wednesday, and then maybe this weekend as well. So it's going to make it very soft. So there's a couple ways to look at that. Is you can bombs away and it won't roll out. You probably got lift, clean, and play in place. And in that regard, is since the bombers won't get the extra roll, they'll still get the distance per se. The shorter hitters might, if they're good with their long irons, might be more in play, if that makes sense. So something to think about there as well. But it's basically a bomber's paradise. It's Bermuda all over the place. Basically, there are a lot of mixes right now because it still is earlier in the season. As you mentioned, for the East Coast over there, pretty damn fast greens is what you're going to be looking at here on this one. It's a Bermuda POA mix as well. But for the most part, this is a standard, like, go get it. Like, the rough won't even be that bad, it sounds like, at the moment because of the wetness of the weather. They don't want to, like, make it a complete disaster. I just had something pulled up. Let me check it. Like, the latest notes from the course on what they're going to do with their rough. They won't even give a – they're saying it's like 2.5 inches right now. But if they can't mow it, it could get bad. So it's something to think about. It could get up to like 4.
Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah. It could get nasty over the weekend. So maybe I'm, you know, speaking out my rear end on that one. But for the most part, we know how this course plays. If you can pipe it pretty well, keep it in the fairway, it all comes down to approach and putting. Like scramble and save pars, of course, like any major. But there's a reason that Rory literally destroys this golf course. Like I saw a stat over the weekend over like the, I can't remember how many rounds, but he's like minus 107 to par here, with the next closest guy is like minus 47. He just destroys this place. So yeah. It tells you the skill set you need, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely driving distance. more so than accuracy. I mean, obviously, I do think that rough will get pretty thick, especially if it's – because it's supposed to rain, I think, through at least maybe Wednesday. And, like, if it's anything – I'm not that far away. I mean, I'm 8-hour drive. But, you know, we're getting just kind of, like, soaking rains. You know what I mean? Like, it's not I do think it will be soft. The greens will be, I'm sure, very, very slick. But I typically, when it's at Wells Fargo, driving distance is king. Par five scoring matters around Quail, and it will this week especially. And then bogey avoidance, I think, will also matter. And I'm ranking some, course history stuff because I know it's not exactly the same, but it's still Quail Hollow. They're not changing the holes. They're just changing some of the stuff about it.
Yep, most definitely. For the most part, it's going to have similar teeth, is the way I'll put it, that we're going to expect every time we watch this golf course. So that leads us to the most important part. Let's get into it. DK for the week here, Jesse, and it's loaded. And we actually, we're going to separate the top tier. Let's put it this way.
Okay.
So we're going to separate it to the big three up top, and then we'll do the 10K range. Okay. So yeah, because we have a 5K range this week for the listeners, so there's a reason you can still make this work just fine. Scotty, 13-4, coming off that monster win at the CJ Cup we didn't talk about last week. Just literally, like, didn't even lap the field. He just completely, like, tripled in that one. He's 13-4. We got Rory, Grand Slam champion Rory, at 12-2, owns this golf course, basically. I think he has his own key to the place. And then Bryson DeChambeau at 11-5, and he has been – a monster in majors. He's playing great on LIV. Picked up a win, I believe, his last time out as well. So his form is very good. Where do you go up here? Because everyone and their mom's betting Rory or Bryson right now. We're talking DFS here.
Yeah, I mean, it's all three of them. You know, if you're playing multiple lineups, I think you have to have some of all three. Bryson actually has pretty good course history, too. I mean, like 2021, he finished ninth. 2018, he finished fourth. At Quail, in 2017, when it was the PGA Championship, it was in April. I mean, I'm sorry, August at that time, and he finished 33rd in that event. And like you said, coming off a win on LIV, had a second place finish in Mexico, fifth at the Masters, fifth in LIV Miami. I mean, he's 100% viable. Rory, four-time winner at Quail. Scottie Scheffler. I don't know how you pick one of the three. If you got a better take, I would love to hear it.
No, they're all 100% in play. Like Rory, I pulled up some early projections here on ownership. Right now it's Scotty at 15.6%, Rory at 21.1%, and Bryson at 22.9%. Now that could be a price thing that makes that an option, but the three are clearly the cream of the crop. There's no denying that. Recent form is phenomenal for all three. You know, I would rank it. It's like I'd have Rory 1A just for his past history and Bryson 1B. I think these are the two guys. And Scotty 3, which means Scotty probably is the best of the bunch because, like, literally you're grasping at straws here. And yeah. In my model, it goes Scotty 1, Bryson 2, Rory 3. That's how they rank out. So there's really no way, right or wrong way, in my opinion. It's just probably who gets hottest with the putter out of these three wins the whole damn thing. That's what it feels like. So pick your poison. I'm going to take Bryson for the savings, but it seems like everybody is. So maybe I should change my stance on that as well.
Yeah, right now it looks like Scotty's projected lowest owned of the three, which it is a big jump from Rory to Scotty. I mean, it's $1,200. So
see, that's what I think it is. I think it's all financial, essentially.
Yeah, I could see that.
People are looking at.
Yeah.
Not a bad place to be if you're looking for the differentiating factors there. All right, let's get to the 10K range then, and this is where it at least gets a little more interesting. Ludvig at 10-8, Xander at 10-7, Morikawa at 10-4, and then Johnny Rahm at 10-2. So where are you looking at in this one?
You got Xander checked off here. He finished second in back-to-back years at Quail the last 2 years. So there's that. Hasn't finished outside the top 20 in the last four events. You do need way better than a top 20 here. I mean, you're really going to need, if you play him, you're going to need him to win. Just like with the top three guys. But I think Xander can win this event. And then John Rahm at 10-2. His course history is not great. Missed cut in 21. and then finished 58th at the PGA when it was here in 2017. But back-to-back top 10s for him on LIV. I don't know. Maybe he gets hot this week. Yeah. I, to be honest with you, I'll probably just skip this range. Like, I'm going to go one of the top three in every lineup and then just, like, just forget this range even exists.
Which is fair. I think a lot of people will do that because they're all going to pay up is where it, the conversation gets interesting, I think. Where do you go with that? For me, I like Xander a ton. I think he's real close to getting back to that elite form we saw last year. He's 14th in my model. He's still struggling with finding fairways over his last 24 rounds. That's his big bugaboo, which if the rough gets nuts, it could be bad here, obviously. But the rest of his game, his approach game is pretty strong. He's firing away at pins. His driving distance is just fine for this field. So I like Xander. I don't know if Colin can close. That's the killer for me right now, because when you talk approach game, Colin's pretty much there. And honestly, he's middle of the pack. There's 156 golfers. I didn't mention that. And a lot of them you could cross off the list at the bottom. But Colin, he's close. I like your thoughts on John Rahm, though, because models, at least you know most models that don't have LIV stats incorporated, aren't going to rate out very well. Like Rahm's 50th in my model. He's been, you know, up and down is the best way I'll say it. But you mentioned his LIV results have been pretty solid. At the Masters, still finished 14th. This is a guy that can drive it plenty far, obviously. And most of his game when he's on is used to be one of the top players in the world. So I think John Rahm at 10-2 could be one to definitely sneak in here potentially. And right now, like Xander is the chalk in this range, where Morikawa and Rahm are both about 8.5%. So you can get some ownership discounts with them if you do play in this 10K range. But I think a lot of people might skip it by playing the top three. And that's where maybe a little different in this section. 9K range, a lot larger here. JT at 99, Vic at 98, Brooks at 97, Neiman 96, Cantley 95, Hideki in the rain at 94. Great picture, by the way. Thanks for sending that. Jordan Spieth at 93, Lowry 92, Fleetwood at 91, and Hatton 9,000. A lot to like here, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Thomas, I think he's going to be pretty popular. Going back to that previous range, they're all going to be low-owned. So if you're a contrarian dude and you want to just, you know, bet that one of the top three doesn't win, you know, you got a lot of leverage there with those next four. But JT, you know, he's going to be high owned. He won this event and he won the PGA here, but it was in August. So different time. However, you know, won the Heritage, second at the Truist last week when Lowry made the bogey, playing more like Justin Thomas that we know of late. Joaquin Neiman at 9,600. So 2021 at the Wells Fargo, finished 18th, 38th in 2019, missed the cut. The year before that, or 2 years before that, or the year before that, 2018. But number one player in the world, according to Phil Mickelson, and you know, has been winning a lot on LIV. 20th last week in Korea. I don't know what that means. Or I guess that was 2 weeks ago at this point, wasn't it, when they played in Korea? Yeah, I was going to say, why would they have an event in Korea with with the major the next week? But why would they have an event in Korea with the major 2 weeks away?
Great question.
And then Cantlay at 95. He flashed a little bit last week, finished fourth at the Truist. You know, he's finished inside the top 30 the last couple years at Quail. You know, I think he's okay. And then Hatton at 9,000, third here in 2023, 42nd in 2018. Been playing LIV. I don't really know what to say about LIV stuff other than he's playing it, and 13th, 5th, and 14th in his last three events. But the model tends to like him more so than Cantlay and more than any of those guys in between there. So I got him checked off.
Fair enough. JT at 99, I think this is another one. Like, honestly, surprised he's not in the group above with his recent form. JT's just second at the Truist, first at the Heritage, so back-to-back basically dubs, which is big. He won here in 2017, as you mentioned. He's rounding into form. He finished eighth. Like, if you just look at his PGA Championship results, 8th, 65th, first. He's won two PGA Championships. So I like JT quite a bit at this price of $9,900. Neiman, I'm with you. If he, you know, he's crushing LIV, and take that with whatever grain of salt you want. But And it hasn't showcased in any majors at all. But the dude is flushing it right now. So if it ever clicks, 96 is pretty sweet. Cantlay's a guy I hate playing. Cantlay's a guy I've been playing a ton lately because I hate – he's so close to winning. I don't know if he can win, but to me, he's more Morikawa but cheaper, if that makes sense. Like, you're getting the same guy, might top 10. Don't know if he'll finish, but you save $1,000. Cantlay at 95 is 20th in my model. If you look at recent form from Cantlay, 4th at the Truist, 13th, 36th, 33rd. So really like what we're seeing from Patrick Cantlay at 95. Speed's always a wild card. I think he's got tons of upside in this event. At 93, Lowry at 92, I like a lot, especially if the weather is bad, coming in really good form. So he's in play. Same with Fleet. The Fleet was kind of the same concept to me there. I like Lowry more in if I have to pick between the two. And then Hatton might be one of my favorite plays at the 9K range. Just going to throw it out there because he's playing great this year as well. Neiman's kind of overshadowing things. Hatton's got to win, continues to put together nice results. And then to top it off, he's actually played well in a couple of facets here. If you just look at PGA Championships, he has a 15th and a 13th in two out of the last three seasons. So the setups, he could do well there, and 14th at the Masters. So I like Hatton a lot in this range if we're looking for live guys that might hopefully fly under the radar. 8K range, you got Henley at 89, Jade at 88. We'll see if the back's holding up. Willie Z at 87, Minwoo at 86, Clark 85, Cam Smith at 84, Connors 83, Sungjae 82, P. Reed at 81, and then Justin Rose and Sip Straka at 8,000. What do you like in this range?
Yeah, there's a lot to like here, I think. Start with Henley at 89. 10th last year at Quail. I think he's just a Southern golfer. 8th at the Heritage. Played last week, finished 46th, whatever. Jason Day finished 4th here last year. Has a win at Quail in 2018. And flashed some pretty good form at the Masters. He was in contention, on a tough track, which we anticipate this being the same. Corey Connors, just ball striker, 13th here last year, 8th the year before that at the Wells Fargo, 11th last week. Sungjae is very interesting to me, 4th and 8th in his last two starts at Quail, and is kind of, I think, figuring it out. 23rd, 33rd, 11th and 5th in his last four starts. So seems to be, getting back on track to the Sungjae that we remember. And then Pat Reed, man. So played Quail a lot, has never missed a cut here, at least since 2013. Finished 2nd in the 2017 PGA Championship. He's been obviously playing on LIV, finished 4th in Korea, 17th Mexico City, 3rd in the Masters. He's another dude who's just like, he's from South Carolina, I think, right? Is that right?
I believe so, yes.
I believe he's from South Carolina. Obviously, this is North Carolina, but Southern dude. So, anyways, long story short, I like Patrick Reed quite a lot. And like you said, if you're using Fantasy Golf National, you don't have these live stats, so it's really tough. Thankfully, this one of the things that Labs does well for some reason, but is get the live stats. Sometimes can't get salaries
posted. Yeah, don't get started on that.
But we got the live stats. So, that's where I'm at in the 8K range there.
Yeah, that's the one thing that every time it's time for my contractor or my yearly signup for Fantasy National to renew, I keep going, I need something with Euro and Live now. Like, these guys play so much. I need everything incorporated.
And I don't I know feel like it's that hard for them to pull that if they want.
That's what I don't understand. It's all available. Like, what are we doing? So it makes me almost want to jump because multiple places are starting to do that. But it's easy to use, and I'm computer stupid. 8K range. So like you mentioned, I don't like this as much as I usually do. I like the bottom half a lot more. Like Connors at 83, another guy coming in phenomenal form. He's 8th in my model, and largely because he's 9th in fairways gained, which we said that's important. His driving distance sucks. It's 108 in the field, but if he's hitting fairways, more importantly, his long iron play has been exquisite right now. And he's 5th in the field in long par fours, 450 to 500. He's 3rd in bogey avoidance. Like, can Corey Connors win this thing? Well, anybody can, but probably not. But could Corey Connors top 10 this thing? I wouldn't be surprised. Especially if the scoring's in like the 8 to 12 range,
right?
Like Corey Connors could easily fit in that mold. So at $8,300, I think that's a really strong play. Like if you're playing cash, I'd probably lock Corey Connors in, honestly, at that price point. And then I like your take on Sungjae, because I've been kind of like sprinkling him in my 20 maxes lately, going, okay, he's close. He's close. And he's showing some market improvement. Again, it's an approach situation. Like he used to be one of the best. Right now, from 175 to 200 over the last 24 rounds, he's 103rd in this field. So it's still not great. But my point is, that's sadly improving with him right now. And even with a poor approach game, he's still 10th in this field in DK points over the last 24 rounds. So he's getting it done. He's been really good around the green. And he finds fairways. So I think Sungjae is interesting. And then I love P. Reed. At $8,100, it's another one of those. I know people want to compare. A lot of people are going to compare how they do at the Wells Fargo. That's a great comparison. But I'm also thinking like longer courses that could have some rough, that could be challenging. And one that always sticks out to me, obviously, on the West Coast is Torrey. And Reed has played great there, obviously. He's won at Torrey Pines. Very long golf course because he's 137th in driving distance, so people think there's no way. But the dude's iron play is on fire. He's great at the long par fours, and he's great around the green to avoid the bogeys.
Yep.
That's what he does so well.
Yep.
So well. So, like, that's what keeps him in the Masters every week to tie top 10, basically. Mm-hmm. So, $8,100 for Reed, I think, is great. A Connors-Reed combo. Now that gets me thinking, like, I can't be the only guy thinking this, neither can you. So, Reed's 13.3%. Yeah, that's the two chalkiest in the range. That makes sense. But not that bad.
Honestly. I see. I'm showing, like, Connors at 16 and then Reed closer to 10. But,
Okay. Still. But not they're terrible. Not terrible. And there'll be plenty of places to get different. So I like both of them. Straka, if you want to ride the wave, the dude's been playing great. And when he's always volatile because if his iron plays on, he's one of the best in the field. That's why he's been winning. But he'll have those weeks where it just disappears completely. And you're like, shit. Yeah. So that's
the
just
Masters what he's GPP. Was one yes. of those weeks.
Bingo. Bingo. The guy I'm going to mention, though, Justin Rose, 104th in my model. Doesn't really flash a ton overall. What I'll tell you, Jesse, what if I told you there's only one golfer in this field that has finished top 15 in the last five PGA championships, and his name was Justin Rose?
That's crazy. Yes. What about his back?
That's the great question. Now, it could be a combination of two things. He could have withdrawn because he was just getting smoked in a no-cut event, got his paycheck, and left because he was last in that field, or he's last because of his back. Those are the two questions. That's the tough part to know. And of course, reporting in the PGA is so great these days. you think that would be like one of the first questions asked on like a Sunday or a Monday since he left early and was at the course already? No, they haven't heard a damn thing about it. So that's a great point. I would keep an eye on that. But if we get the I'm healthy report, which we might not ever get, keep Rose in mind, folks, because he doesn't grade out well, but he's pretty phenomenal here.
Have you seen his the RV that he fitted out that follows him around?
No, but knowing Justin Rose just from all of his sponsorships and stuff, I can only imagine.
It's got a cold plunge, a hot plunge. It's got a red light therapy bed. It looks like a tanning bed, but it's just all red light, which apparently is supposed to be good. But yeah, he probably spent a lot of money on that thing. But anyways, it just follows him around to every event. So
must be nice. Must be nice. All right, so Rosie in play. 75 to 79, it goes from Berger and Tigala all the way to Fitzpatrick and Bobby Mack. So what do you like in this range?
Do you have Ryan Fox added in there?
Ryan Fox, I do not. Interesting. Good call.
He's in there, I think, at 7,900 as well. I wouldn't.
Probably from the W. He bombs it, though. Like, I don't know if I want to take a guy giving off his first win at Myrtle Beach, but the dude does crush the golf ball.
He finished 54th at the PGA and Quail in 2017, but yeah, I'm not around. I have one guy that I want to click on here, and it's kind of like only because of course history. Well, he's playing pretty well too. Daniel Berger, 11th and third in his last two starts, which were elevated events. Finished 21st at the Masters, so the last three events, which are big time events on tour, he's played pretty well. And then he's played this golf course plenty too. Did miss the cut at the 2017 PGA Championship. At the Wells Fargo, he's made the cut in four out of four times. Best finish was 17th in 2016. Sorry, but yeah, that's. Man, I don't know. I can't bring myself to click. Maybe Mav, but I'm just not a huge fan of this range at all whatsoever.
This is the range where I haven't looked at ownerships. Maybe I'm again speaking. I'm going to look after I speak, but this is where you can start to get weird. I think, if you want to take some chalk with the Connors of the worlds and stuff. Because, like, Berger should be popular. He's $7,900 coming and playing great golf. You know, we keep saying he's so close, doing this, doing that. He finished 11th last week at the Truist, 3rd at the Heritage, 21st at the Masters, 30th at the Valero. I'll take almost all of those for $7,900 right now.
Yeah.
Sign me up. So the form is really good with Daniel Berger. This is where it gets good, though. Sahith playing horrific golf, like the worst of his career, pretty much. Withdrew from the Truist, 69th at the Heritage, so two elevated events, no cut events, nada, basically.
Yeah,
29th at the Masters. That's a long, challenging golf course. And we're talking about a guy that, again, different courses, but in the PGA history of the past, finished 12th last year and 40th the year before. So if we're talking tournaments, this becomes a conversation point to me with Sahith Theegala at this point. Because if we would have had this pricing last year, he's what, $8,900, $9,100?
Last year?
Played much better golf, yeah.
At this event or at the PGA or what?
Yeah, I'm just like speculating. Like in this kind of tournament, in this kind of field, he's probably high eights maybe. At least
PGA Championship 8,100 last year.
Oh wow.
Memorial 8,800.
There, so we're getting a little better there. But yeah.
Yeah. At the Wells Fargo it was 9,100, but
there you go. You know,
it wasn't a Masters.
Major,
sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
McNealy coming in great form. If you want to roll the dice there, we know he can get good with the putter, and that's a big part of this golf course. He's 55th in the field in driving, so it's not like he's a slub when it comes to that. So he's another guy, if the approach game's half decent, he can make it interesting. Siwoo at 77 is the guy I might have too many shares of this week. And it's because this is the volatility GPP part. This is where I'm at, but 17th, 15th, 8th in his last three tournaments. Obviously the Truist and the Heritage, different type golf courses. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat that. CJ Cup down there is a little bit of a longer course, but it's a resort coursey. But his history at the PGA, not great. But he's a guy coming in good form. It's interesting. Sam Burns, he's missed three of his last four PGA cuts, but finished 20th in one of them. But when I look at Sam Burns, 30th last week, 5th at the CJ, 13th at Heritage, 46th. And when you look at his just statistics, he's slowly improving. He's first in this field in putting, by the way. 35th in driving, 34th in DK, scoring pretty much average in most other places. So Burns is the tournament play. And then Bobby Mack's always a tournament play for me, but I'm not in love with anybody else. So it's just that kind of pocket of like Theegala, Burns, Siwoo. I think you can get really different come tournament time. I like Berger a ton, but I think looking at ownership right now, Berger's, he's the chalk of this entire 7K range, which makes sense. But Sahith, 1.2%. Siwoo, 5.2, Burns, 7.9. Yeah. So you can definitely start to get a little different as we go.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I the Burger's the chalk of this range. I just noticed that, which sucks. But
yep, makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, 7K to 74. It starts with Finau and Harmon at 74 and wraps up with Sergio and Dietrich at 7,000. What do you like in this range?
Harmon, 46 last week, 3rd at the Heritage, 36 at the Masters, won the Texas Open. So last four events there, pretty good. Played here at Quail Plenty. Finished 13th in the 2017 PGA Championship. Has been making the cut pretty consistently. Missed one cut in 2023 since at Quail since 2018. So, I mean, not great finishes. 18th is his best finish, 47th last year. But either way, we're down here in the $7,400 range. Keegan's played here a lot as well. 21st here last year. 2017 PJ finished 33rd. Back-to-back made cuts for him. They're back-to-back no-cut events. 30th and 18th in his last two starts. Did miss the cut at the Masters, but was playing pretty solid golf before that. Sergio at 7,000. Fourth here in 2019 at Quail. He's not been playing great, but... You know, we're down here at 7K at this point, and that's the only guy that I'm willing to click on at 7K. So maybe Dietrich, but I don't know, man. I can't trust some of these Euro guys on like super tough tracks when it's major time.
Yeah, that's like I like Dietrich as a tournament play because he can, when he's clicking, he can bomb it. His approach game is usually pretty decent. Like he's 38th in the field from 175 to 200. A lot of volatility everywhere else, like
yeah,
struggles finding the fairway. Like, but we've also seen him play great at places like Torrey. So it's one of those, like, if he has clicks for a week, he could give you a top 20 and really elevate things. So tournament play for Dietrich for sure. I see similar players below here, though, to Dietrich, so it's tough to click that 7K button for him. Keegan will always be in play for me at pretty much any tough golf course. $7,200. He's fourth in my model. His approach game is on point right now. He's third in, from 175 to 200. Long par four scoring. He's outstanding. Tee to green game is just locked in right now. So Keegs is in play. Benny on. I don't mind as well. He's played pretty well at Quail in the past, if you want to go that round. And I like the Brian Harman call. He's another guy I started plugging in a lot more often the last couple of weeks with him. He did this kind of a couple of years ago when he won the British Open. I am not saying he's winning the PGA Championship, but you saw his form get better and better as he got closer. And we've seen that in the last few weeks with him. He's a very streaky golfer. And I'll ride the cheap Brian Harman while we can type thing. All right. Loaded 6K range. So I'll just let you start here. What do you have for us?
Yeah, I mean, this will make this pricing fun. I'm glad they're doing it this way versus the old way, because there are definitely some guys down here in the 6K range, especially with, you know, the top three. Rasmus Højgaard, 6,600, never played here, but 32nd at the Masters, at the PGA last year, he finished 68th. He made the cut, but he's just been kind of showing up in some of these major events here. Jaeger bombs it. I think it's Jaeger bombs week, don't you? Would you agree with that?
As at his price point in a tournament, I love that a lot. Yes.
21st here last year at Quail, and then 27th year before that, 7th last week at the Truist. You know, made the cut at the Masters, playing really solid golf. Jake Knapp, I think, is an interesting GPP play. He finished 58th here at Quail in last year. Come off 39th at CJ Cup, but it's just as far as he hits it. I mean, I just think he's worth sprinkling in there. Bud Cauley at 6,200. Made the cut in two straight years before he kind of had the injury thing, but has played Quail enough. He finished 33rd at the PGA Championship in 2017. And then 32nd Heritage, 5th Texas Open, 4th Valspar, 6th Players. So he's coming on pretty well. Keith Mitchell, just go ahead and bet him first round leader.
Yes, my God, that's just ridiculous what he keeps
doing. What the fuck, man?
He's out of nowhere again. He climbs up the leaderboard on Friday, on Thursday. I'm like, what the
heck? He hung around longer than I thought.
Yeah, like, yeah, he did. I'm with you there.
But when you start 9 under and the winning score is, you know, 16.
Does help.
Yep. But he's played Quail pretty well. I mean, 59th and 23, 21st. In 21, he finished 3rd. 19, he finished 8th. 18, he finished 34th. So, been playing pretty well. And then, you know, 7th, 12th, 18th in his last three starts. So, I think he is playable. The model likes Nygaard Pedersen.
Nygaard Pedersen.
European tour guy. But has been playing some of these, like, Oppo-filled events. He finished 10th at the China Open, which was his last start, like, almost a month ago. I don't know. Maybe he's playing someplace else. Valspar, he finished 22nd. Puerto Rico, he finished 2nd. So Rasmus Nygaard Pedersen is the last guy I'm willing to. What about Bridgman, man? How about him finishing 4th last week,
man?
Yeah.
Yes. Showed up in a big boy event.
I'll pass it on to you. I'm going to close this blind so that way the sun doesn't ruin my eyes.
You got it. All right, 6K range. Dean Burmeister, live golfer, 4th in driving distance, just destroys the golf ball and actually can compete as well. So at $6,900, I believe he's a South African. We were going to go with him at 69, one of my favorite plays in that range. Then it gets interesting. Do you want the approach game of Aaron Rye at 68? Does that interest you? Possibly. Aaron Rye's coming in with 23rd last week at the Truist, 36th at Heritage, 27th at the Masters. So Rye at 68, you know, I need both those gloves and the head covers if it rains. So that could come in handy. Harris English has played actually really well at this course at 68. If you want to go there, I prefer Ryan Burmeister or Burmeister over him, but someone else to think about. It's hard to pass on Andrew Novak at 66. Another guy played great at Torrey. He's picked up the win in the New Orleans event with Ben Griffin as well. but just playing really good golf, period, especially in tough events. Novak's been showing up, so don't mind him at 66. Jägerbaum's at 65. Yes. I'll mention JJ Spahn at 64. He's another guy who plays Torrey extremely well. He can kind of poke and prod through these very challenging golf courses, it feels like, even though his distance is not elite by any means. 17th at the Truist, finished 50th at the Masters. Not ideal, but we're talking $6,400. Kurt Kitayama is another one. If you think Bay Hill and some of these ones where you need to be accurate off the tee and then have a good approach game, like Kitayama, 7th in the field in driving, gives himself tons of chances to get birdie putts. His putter just sucks. So if he gets hot with the putter at 62, he can make some noise. I got Keith Mitchell in here as well, just like you did. Other than that, like, you can make a few arguments for guys, but I'm not going to pick the entire range. The guy I'm going to keep an eye on, and I'm going to try not to play him this week, but if you want to go bomber narrative and a guy that we've seen get hot at times, Jake Knapp's at 63, and that's interesting, I'll say. Very interesting. 5K range, to wrap it up, what do you like in this one?
Yeah, it's massive. So there are definitely some guys to click on down here. Let me go back up toward the top. Lucas Glover, 5,900, 16th at the Wells Fargo last year. Now, 66th, 61st, his last two events, missed the cuts, Masters, but before that was 8th and 3rd. Thorbjørn Olsen, 44th at the 2017 PGA Championship. Come off a 7th place finish last week at Myrtle Beach. 29th CJ Cup, 5th in Texas. Kevin Yu, 4th last week, 29th at Myrtle Beach. 29th at the Byron Nelson, missed the cut at the Masters, but 18th and 12th in the two previous to the Masters, so playing some solid golf. Michael Thorbjørnsen, model likes him, made two cuts in a row, so there you go. John Kiefer at 5,300, Corn Ferry guy. So one recently on the Corn Ferry, bombs it. I know his caddy. He says he's nice. Plays better on tougher courses.
All right.
And then Elvis Smiley at 5,200. I just had to Google this guy. He's an Aussie, 22 years old. And I don't know why the model likes him so much, but it does. So he's been playing European tour events, 15th in his last start that I have posted for him, which was the China Open. Yeah, that's where I'm at in the 5K range.
Yeah, for me, it's like Tom Hoagie's a guy I always suck. I'm a sucker for when they're cheap because he's an approach guy that can go haywire everywhere else. So GPP, like most of these are GPP only, of course. Sam Stevens as well is a guy, pretty good driver of the golf ball, decent approach game. Everything else kind of goes off the rails at times with Stevens. He's coming in, though, with a 23rd at the Truist, 3rd at the CJ Cup, 54th at the Heritage, 18th at the Houston Open, missed cut at the Valero. So playing pretty good golf, all things considered, for $5,800. Taylor Moore is another guy at 57, 18th in the field and driving. The rest of his game is challenging. That's the best way I'll put it. So keep that in mind. I might buy too much into Eric Cole at 57. He's starting to kind of round into form of late here. We've seen him go 34th, 5th, 18th, 26th, 15th. Like, he's putting it together again right now. At this price point, he can get birdies and bunches if he can just – like, he can have one massive round potentially and then just kind of screw the rest of it up. But outside of finding fairways, everything else rates out really well for Eric Cole. So, obviously, very important to find fairways, but you know what I'm trying to say. Lee Hodges is another guy, really good approach game. Pretty good at – he's 18th in the field and finding the fairways at 56. So, he's a guy I can look at as well. And then Ryu. Our boy Ryu at 55, he's always a boomer bust. Like, he'll be top 20 or he'll be miscut, it feels like, with him. So $5,500 for Ryu is in play. And one last thing I'll say is the reason why this area is so big, it's like the, 30 PGA pros that made their way in, that most outside of our buddy the Block Party would probably be missing the weekend. So, yeah.
You are touting Michael Block.
Not a chance. I just wanted to make we had to mention him once in the show. Like, it would have been inappropriate not to, but I will not be attending the Block Party, let's put it that way, on this show. All right, let's recap things. So 11K and up, the top three. Who are you going with as your pick? Price doesn't matter. Who's your pick in the top three?
I just don't know how you don't click Rory's name.
Yeah, it's probably the one. I'll go Bryson, though. I like Bryson a lot as well. But yeah, they're, like I said, 1A, 1B. You pick your poison. Yeah. 10K range, who you picking?
Xander.
I'll go John Rahm to be different, but Xander's the dude. 9K range.
I mean, JT's going to be chalky. Let's just say Neiman, because I don't feel like he's going to be nearly as highly owned as what JT is.
I don't think he will be either. I'm going to stick to my guns and hope it works. Give me Tyrell Hatton at $9,000. 8K range.
I'm going to say P. Reed, Patrick Reed.
I like P. Reed a lot here as well. Okay, I'm going to do a stipulation. If Rose's back is good, I like Rose. If Rose's back is not good, which we probably won't know, give me Corey Connors at 83. I'm going to have a lot of Reed Connors lineups, I have a feeling. So I'm preparing to tilt my face off on Thursday.
Yeah.
75 to 79.
Burger.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I'll go with Sahith Thagala and see if that works. 7K to 74.
Keegan.
That's the dude as well. Who do you? Keegan. Give me Brian Harman at 74. 6K range.
Keith Mitchell.
Yep. I'm going to go Burmeister. It's barely in the 6K range. I love that play a lot. And then if you have to pick a 5K guy, where are you going?
Thorborn Olsen.
Yep, that's not a bad one. It's a guy I should have checked off after you said him because I didn't realize he was there, but playing some really good golf, so I like that as well. I'll go with, to be different, I'll go Eric Cole. Eric Cole for me. All right, if you're building the cash lineup this week, which you can kind of do, it's still
risky, you can definitely you can do it. Yeah.
I think we're both going Connors Reed out the gate. Yeah. So who would you pair them with?
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start. And then like maybe go up and like do JT.
Yeah, that's probably a good one. JT or a Fleetwood or a Lowry, something like that. Like I feel probably too good about all of them, which is probably a problem, but yes.
Yeah.
Now, if you're starting on a tournament lineup, where would you go?
I'm going to go Rory. Obviously, he was my pickup top there. Nygaard Pedersen. Nobody knows who that guy is. He will not be owned at all whatsoever. And then Keith Mitchell. I mean, and then you got 8,500 range right there, so. Pick your poison after that.
Hey, your Pedersen guy might work. I remember like a couple weeks ago, I said that something Matthews guy at 6K made the cut, finished like top 30. So it's possible.
Yeah,
you can make magic happen. But for me, I'll go with okay, I'll make something different since we all want the top guys. I'm going to go with John Rahm, and then you can pair him with a chalky JT and even a Corey Connors. So. Because I think Rahm just kind of gets ignored overall in that range. All right, who's your pick to win this week?
It's tough, man. These odds are really, really, really tough. I'll give you a top 30 real quick. Kiefer was plus 450, and he's been bet down to 4-1 now. So I do like that top 30 for him. And then as far as winners go, man, I mean, it's just like – I mean, somehow get Rory in with a parlay of a NBA game tonight. This is tough. Like some value, maybe. We didn't talk about Shane Lowry, but I mean, obviously he's playing really good golf. I don't know why neither one of them. Did you mention Lowry?
I mentioned him. Yeah, I like him this week. I think he's playing really good. But
55-1 on him.
He's a better bet probably than a tournament play, honestly, because he's just. His price tag with other golfers. Well, who knows? Maybe I'm talking out of my ass, but
yeah, I mean, probably some P. Reed like top 20. I don't know what his top 20 odds are.
Plus 250. I have that written down
it's
already.
It's not terrible. He's 90-1. So I don't mind that if we're just looking at like kind of some longer shots here. And then, yeah, it's just so tough with those top three, man. I mean, like I kind of feel like this is it was similar at the Masters. You just see what happens after day one and kind of where everybody's sitting. And if like Rory's got better odds, you bet him, you know, that kind of thing. And that way, I don't know, you got a decent sweat on Sunday.
Yeah. Especially with the weather coming into play, you can get a lot of craziness unfolding for you. I got a handful of bets here. I'm just going to throw out there. People do with these what you wish, but top 20, give me P. Reed at 250. Again, Rose, if healthy, plus 300. Just going to keep riding that wave. But Novak at plus 400. Burmeister at plus 450, all top 20. If you want to be a little different, top a little lighter on the odds, top 40, you can get Novak at plus 120. Burmeister at plus 130. Lucas Glover at plus 150 as well. Give me some decent top 40 action if you're so inclined. Because I mentioned 156 golfers, T70 in ties this week, not T65. T70 in ties. So keep that in mind as well. All right. Any final thoughts, my friend, as we wrap up another major? Major number two of the season.
I don't, man. It should be a good one. Quail's a great golf course. Hopefully the cream rises to the top and we get another great golf tournament like we did the last one. So,
and next week we get the Colonial on our hands, the Charles Schwab Challenge Colonial. So just it never stops. Can't stop, won't stop. I just want to see. So it's not an elevated event, thank God. That's what I was worried about, but I wanted to double check before. Because the Memorial's the following week. That's an elevated event.
Yeah, that's
and then the Canadian, and then the U.S. So we have kind of
Colonial's going to be weak next week. It's going to be weak. Yes.
It's going to be a rough one. We'll be here, though, unless scheduling changes things. But we should be here.
We should be
for you guys once again. Things are looking better these days for me. So we'll get moving there and see where it goes. But we'll wrap it up there, my friend. Good luck to everybody this week. Make sure you check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I am at BD Intrick. This was your 2025 PGA Championship preview. Catch you on the next one.